Our first scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3. Listen again for God's word. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." This is God's word for us this morning. I'm not sure which deep thinker said it, but I wholeheartedly agree with the idea that life happens while you're making other plans. Tammy and the kids went for a quick visit to her parents' house to enjoy a little bit of spring break and to check in on her father, who had just started chemotherapy treatments for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Tuesday plans changed when Chuck had a mild heart attack and was scheduled for triple bypass surgery this past Friday. Tammy's plans to be here this morning preaching in her first Easter sermon in over 15 years, and me not having to, shifted to sitting vigil with her mom as they and all of the family and friends sat vigil together and awaited the news and the outcome of Chuck's surgery. Now I am pleased to say that Chuck is lying in the ICU with three new arteries channeling life-giving blood through his body. And I am thankful. I am thankful life is happening to him. I'm sure all of us could quickly name our own experiences of how life has happened while we were making other plans. All that education we did for one career, and then life takes us in a completely different direction. All those hopes and dreams we planned out with one person, and then life happens and we are no longer with that person. All those plans that formulate in one's mind, in our mind's eye, because of the job we have, and then life happens and we don't have that job any longer. And sometimes it isn't even the big stuff in life. Sometimes even our plans for the day ahead are not what life has in mind. Life happens while you're making other plans is a great way to describe what happened in our scripture passage in the Gospel of Mark. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome were chomping at the bit to get for the sun to rise on Sunday morning so that they could go to the tomb where Jesus was buried. They planned to anoint his body with a proper burial, since Jesus was hastily buried before the Sabbath. the one who had changed their lives, the one whom they had followed, the one who had been unjustly condemned to die one of the worst deaths humans could conceive of. He deserved their care as a final act of devotion. They felt this urgency that this had to happen no matter what else there was to do that day. This was their plan. So when the sun peeked up over the horizon, they were off, walking as fast as they could, straining to get there, breathing intently. In Mark's story, they are like speed walkers, determined and focused on their plan. When they got to the tomb, their one big worry, that massive stone in front of the tomb entrance, had been rolled aside. The entrance was open. But that's when their carefully thought-out plan flew out the window and life happened. They entered the tomb and found a young man dressed in white clothes sitting next to the place where Jesus' body had been laid. Nothing could have surprised them more. I mean, who was this guy? Who hangs around sitting in a tomb? And more importantly, where was Jesus' body? The young stranger told them the good news. Life. New life has happened while you were making other plans. He said, I know you planned to see Jesus today, at least his body. He's been raised. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? Life. New life was God's plan all along, just as he told you. Then the young man told them what to do next. Go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now what happens next is one of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason, that I love the Gospel of Mark. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They were seized by terror and amazement. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the story of God's good news, the story that tells us that God does not leave his own son in the tomb, the story that changes everything we think we know about life and death, that story, at least in English, ends with the word afraid. These faithful disciples who couldn't get to the tomb fast enough, when they thought there was a dead body there, they couldn't run fast enough when they saw that the tomb was empty and they discovered new life. It has to be the most disappointing ending ever. But it's an ending that rings true to life. We aren't very good at letting go of our plans when life happens. How often have we had the opportunity to tell someone we love them, but let other plans keep us from writing that email, picking up the phone, and telling them something important? How often are we afraid to trust the flow of life and go where it leads? When have we been offered the opportunity for something new and life-giving, but we turned it down because we were afraid of what we'd have to give up? Perhaps how it might change us. Maybe others wouldn't understand what we're doing. Life happens and continues to happen despite our plans, in spite of our plans, and oftentimes we don't follow it. Those women that day were determined to care for the person in his death. God was determined to invite them into new life, and they fled. Last week, Tammy preached on seeking God in the direction forward. We were invited forward into the events of Holy Week to travel with Jesus into the darkest days of his life, that we might see how far God would go to bring us new life. That's really been the goal of all the directions we have taken during the Lenten season, to discover life as we seek God inward and upward and downward and outward and backward and forward. Only those directions don't work if we think we will ever arrive. if we think there is an end in sight, if we think we can find God once and for all. The biggest problem with going forward into Holy Week is thinking that Easter is the end goal. Going forward into Holy Week, like going inward or upward or backward or downward or outward, will only help us seek God if it compels us to go onward. If these directions lead us to a continual search to know and to find God in life and in the new life God has given us in Jesus Christ, the goal isn't to arrive at the empty tomb and discover it's empty. The goal isn't to go into to come to church again and to hear that we, the church, believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The goal is to go onward from here, to go onward from that tomb into the new life God is offering us and this world, and to let it mold us and work through us to make this world what God intends. Now, I realized this in one of the strangest places this last week. I've been taking tennis lessons for the last 6 months so that I could play tennis with my daughter, Sophie. In my lesson last week, my instructor noticed that when I would approach the net to make a quick return, I would plant my foot, stop my momentum, and then hit the ball. He said, "I'll have greater control, more accuracy, and more success if I let my whole body move onward through the shot." He actually said it that way. You will have a better play if your whole body moves onward through the shot. That's what Easter invites us to do. Move onward through it. Not stop here and run away. I mean, that's what makes the Apostle Paul's words worth hearing again this week. If you joined us last week, you know that Tammy preached on them and talked about going forward. Going forward, though, isn't enough for Paul. Life happens when you go onward. Paul didn't want to know the resurrection that it just happened. He didn't want simple proofs in a series of arguments about it. He wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow he could attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul's plan for living was so shaped by the life of Jesus that he knew he needed to do something. So he pressed on. He moved onward from the good news of the empty tomb to make the good news his own, to live this new life, this resurrection power in his own living. I mean, this was so important to him that he gave up his own plan for living. He was one of the most faithful Jews around. He lived the life from birth forward. He knew which tribe he was from. He knew his Hebrew scriptures, and he lived them. He established faithful gatherings of Jews everywhere, and he worked to maintain the integrity of the faith. This man had a plan. He was smart. He was educated. He was zealous for what he thought was God's plan for the world. And then he gave it all up. Not because he was a bad person. Not because he had a lot of bad habits. I mean, if you review his past, you'll find good stuff there. But he gave it all up to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, not in some mind game sort of way, but in his life, so that he could have new life. It wasn't enough to know something intellectually. It wasn't enough to say that he had read about it or visited a church on Easter Sunday. He wanted to go well beyond. He wanted to go onward beyond Easter to what it would mean for his life. As one preacher put it, this unusual man, Paul, had the idea that the ideal Christian life would be to be like Jesus, to love, to care, to give, to serve, to suffer, to sacrifice like Jesus. "I'm not there yet," Paul said. "I don't want you to get that idea. I haven't yet arrived. But I can tell you this. I want to keep going. No matter how scary the future, how daunting the diagnosis, How overwhelming the challenge. How intense the struggle. How uncertain the road ahead. I want to go on to become more like Jesus because Jesus has already given his all for me and claimed me as his own. I mean, can't you hear it in his words? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Even though he's sitting in prison, in a prison cell writing these words, he's running onward, heart pounding, temples, heart pumping, temples pounding, bones and muscles aching, face sweating, running onward from the tomb, running onward toward new life, running onward to seek God and the power of the resurrection. Paul wants purpose. He wants wholeness. He wants to be a part of something larger than himself. He wants to see God in the sunsets and in cancer. He wants to see God in the love of family and friends and in the eyes of moms and dads who finally have something that they can give their children to eat. He wants to see a world cared for rather than abused. He wants to see an end to violence and living peace and justice. And Paul wants us to see it too. The power of the resurrection is not simply about Easter. It's about going onward, searching for God, finding God, and living this power in ways that make this world a better place. Make it what God intends. Because when God's plans become our plan, new life will happen. Not just in us, but for everyone and for this world God so loves. So on this Easter Sunday, go to the tomb. See its emptiness. And hear the good news. Christ is risen. But don't be afraid. Don't run away. Marvel at the power of God's resurrecting love and the gift of new life. Then let's press onward, seeking to be this resurrection power and this new life in this world. Amen.